$25 or more per square foot, U.S. only.
News is happening fast. Stay connected with News Talk 550 KTSA and FM 1071.
Jack Riccardi on 550 and 107.1 KTSA. Well, as you know, we didn't have Olympic Games this year, thanks to the COVID-19, but we do have a major global competition to come up with a coronavirus and get it to market and get it to the people. And there was news today that Johnson & Johnson has had a significant advance in their trials. It's estimated that over 20 coronavirus vaccines are now in clinical testing around the world. Our next guest is going to talk about that a little bit with us, and we're always glad to have him back on the show. Dr. Fred Campbell from UT Health San Antonio with us on the KTSA Kinetico Quality Water Softeners Newsmaker line. I know we've talked about this before, Dr. Campbell. It is really incredible by the standards or the precedent of vaccine research that we would be this far along inside of just months compared to other vaccine development in the past.
That's right, Jack. It's been an extraordinary process, and the initial results have been very, very gratifying. So we're likely to be able to accelerate the production of effective vaccine that way.
It seems like more and more the question I hear people asking, and I wanted to ask you, was even when we get to the point where we feel that the vaccine is proven and it's been tested, and we see stories every day about hundreds of millions of doses being pre-purchased, this is going to be a major logistical challenge to not only get them out there to the marketplace, but also to figure out who should get them first.
That's absolutely correct. And there was an excellent discussion in the New England Journal of Medicine just yesterday about those very issues. World experts talking about the fact that we have to produce the vials to put those the vaccine in. And in fact, we have to make very important ethical decisions about who gets those vaccines initially, and the gearing up to produce billions of vaccines for administration is going to be a monumental task.
So how do you figure that out? I mean, how do you look at the population of the world and figure out everything from geography to age group in terms of, eventually you want it to be accessible to everyone, but you have to start somewhere.
Yes, there are organizations, the World Health Organization and other similar international groups, ethical bodies that have been around for a long time that, in fact, make those judgments, and for the most part, they've been excellent in terms of being both very humane and also effective in making sure that the highest risk individuals around the world are getting vaccines earlier, and in fact, that saves incredible numbers of lives.
So, would we be thinking that? Is it as simple as looking at the dashboards and saying, well, we're going to start with the groups that are most disproportionately impacted by the virus?
There's no question that elderly individuals, those in the 65 and older age groups, are going to be likely to die more readily than any other group. And with that, people with serious chronic health issues, as we've discussed before, issues such as heart disease, kidney disease, lung disease, diabetes, people that are on treatment for cancer are among those highest risk of death from COVID-19.
And I'm always curious because you could decide, for example, okay, we're going to prioritize the elderly first, but does that mean that you inoculate that population in toto first, or just that you inoculate that population at a higher faster rate than people in other age groups?
That age group would be targeted, but of course it would also include people that are much younger with serious chronic medical conditions. There will be a significant number of people that will not want to participate in the vaccine, and it is a very important issue to, of course, vaccinate a high enough percentage of the population of the world to be able to get what's called herd immunity.
I was going to ask you that next. So when would you feel you had reached that in terms of percentage of a population that has the vaccine? Let's say in a country, what's the percentage of the of that population that needs to have been vaccinated before you can say, well, now we're at or around herd immunity? And does that include not only people vaccinated, but also people who've already had coronavirus?
Well, that last question is a real tough one. We're not certain at this point in time that people that have had the coronavirus, COVID-19, are in fact immune. So I'm predicting that, in fact, we will need to vaccinate those individuals as well, just because we're not certain at this particular time whether they are in fact immune. In general, people throughout the percentage of roughly 80% vaccinated as being a point where we can expect herd immunity. And so there would be a great effort to get to that percentage worldwide.
We also hear, Dr. Campbell, that they're looking for volunteers and they're getting a lot of people volunteering to do the human testing. Is there a risk of catching coronavirus from taking a test dose of the vaccine?
No, there would not be a risk actually of catching the coronavirus. The part of the vaccine that is being used is a part of the COVID-19 that is really not virulent. It has been deactivated. So the problem with catching COVID-19 from the vaccine has been obviated. The problem, unfortunately, is that any vaccine can cause adverse side effects, and many that we are unaware of until we use the vaccine on a wide scale. And so that is always an issue. And when it comes to vaccinating 5, 6, 7 billion people, we're going to have hundreds of thousands of people that traditionally would get adverse reactions to virus.
And when you say billions, we obviously are talking about a very long window of time. I mean, the vaccine itself could be announced on a particular day, but it seems like it would be months to maybe a year before you would reach those kinds of numbers that would be significant numbers, right?
Yeah, this kind of an effort is unprecedented, and it's clear that we do need to have a herd immunity percentage at 80%. So we're talking about several billion people. I can't imagine that occurring in less than months, possibly as long as a year.
Yeah. Dr. Fred Campbell, UT Health San Antonio. Always appreciate the time, sir. Thanks for being with us tonight.
It's always great to be with you, Jack.
All right, thanks. We're going to take a step aside here quick for the news at 6, catch up on everything with Dennis. Let's talk about the vaccine. Let's talk about the election. Let's talk about our good friend Herman Cain. I want to tell you a little story about him when we continue here. As you know, he passed away. He is one of the casualties of coronavirus, and very familiar to you perhaps from his business career or his run for president or from his radio work, which hits pretty close to home for me. And I'll tell you about that here coming up. We've got the news next on 550.